Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Thank you all for tuning in to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey, the Josh Terry podcast brought to you by Raising Grace Studios. Thank you to Red Circle and all the help they're giving us now. And to, let's see, the Gentry Barbershop. You guys fucking hooked me up today. Thank you very much. B-Dub's Barbecue. You don't know that I'm finna give you a shout out, but I ate your food earlier today and it was fucking awesome. So now you have to sponsor. So today, I've got somebody with me. I've been trying to get on here for the past little while. Not only do y'all know her on TikTok, she's a big deal on TikTok now. She's also very nice to look at. If y'all had my view right now, you'd be fucking giggling too. Miss Kate Stinson, the Southern Oreo. How are you doing today?
I'm doing mighty fine. How are you today?
I am fine. Me and Kate have known each other for, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years.
Oh, God, yeah.
I hadn't been Bearded Bastard on social media in 3 years, so.
It's been that long? Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Yeah, wow. I worked in radio for 2, and I had a girlfriend before that, and she told me that I couldn't. My internet is unstable. Why is it saying my internet's stable? Who gives a shit? It's recording. Anyway, so Kate is big into politics. She has her own podcast. What's the name of your podcast?
Kate Unfiltered. You can find it on Spotify, on Apple Music, and on YouTube.
Hey, if you're listening to me and you're one of these, I don't know how many downloaders and subscribers we got now. We got a lot. Yeah, but please, I don't recommend a lot of podcasts. This chick is the real fucking deal. She's awesome. She has a great perspective, point of view. You want to hear somebody that doesn't sound like a dumbass talking about politics? Go listen to her. Like she said, she's unfiltered. She's fucking awesome. What all do you cover on your show?
Oh, Lord. Just about everything under the sun. As it says in my intro, there's no topic too messy. So everything from politics to ways to spice up your sex life, down to generational norms, generational changes, regular day-to-day nonsense, country lifestyle, the Southern lifestyle, and all that goodness. So just about everything.
She's a badass, guys. So let's see. How do we want to get started? Let's talk about how we met. As you just reminded me, I'm pretty sure I slid into her DMs back in the day. You can't help it. I mean, look at you. You can't help it. But you've gone through a huge transformation in the past couple of years, though. Very proud of you.
Thank you. It's been a journey, but I'm very happy to have made it.
If you don't mind, at your heaviest point, how heavy were you?
I was 350 at my heaviest.
And what are you now?
I'm sitting at fluctuating between 158 and 165.
Oof. How was that? What did you do?
So I had gastric sleeve surgery June 19th of 2019. Everyone always freaks out when I talk about this because I had mine done in Tijuana, Mexico. But when I say that, it was like 3 minutes over the border. Like this wasn't like I went and got my, you know, organs harvested or anything. I could look out my hotel room and physically see California. When I had gastric sleeve surgery, which basically, for those of y'all that don't know, it means that they cut away 70% of your stomach, and it creates this tiny little sleep. It's real cute, and it stops you from eating a whole bunch of food. And it's not like people always think, oh, you're super deprived now. It's nothing like that. I can just take 3 bites of a steak and be full. I can still eat everything. I just get full a lot faster.
What made you want to do that?
So I had some health issues that were getting worse, things to do with my heart, blood pressure, all that kind of stuff. And when you hear that at, you know, 22, it's kind of, you shouldn't be hearing that stuff at 22. You shouldn't be having your doctor talk to you about your blood pressure and, you know, your life expectancy at 22. So that's kind of what shook me out of it. But I also know my sense of self-discipline when it comes to carbs and sugar is non-existent. And it doesn't always have to necessarily be through insurance. I did not go through insurance. I paid out of pocket for my surgery because most people, gastric bypass and gastric sleeve, it's like the last resort. They don't want you to start there. So I basically said, fuck you. The recommendations that I got and said, I'm going to do it. So I did it and best decision I ever made, and would recommend it to anybody that struggles with putting the fork down. Sometimes you just have to be real with yourself, and it's people think, oh, it's a cop out. Oh, you're just weak. And no, I just, it, food for me was how I coped with my depression. I would eat myself sick because it was one thing in my life that I felt like I had control over. And it's a lot easier said than done for a lot of people. So if you struggle with that, do your research, make sure it's the right life choice for you, because it is a life change. It is not something you should do on a swift and quick fix. People also seem to think that it's something that you do and it just fixes all your problems. You can stretch your stomach back out. I could gain back all the weight if I don't stay disciplined with it and I don't exercise. So don't think that getting the gastric sleeve is going to answer all your problems, because it'll get you jump started, but it's definitely, you can still fuck it up pretty bad.
So first question, what does gastric bypass surgery in Tijuana cost?
So gastric bypass surgery, I didn't have that. I had the gastric sleeve. The gastric
bypass,
that's a lot more intense. And that's usually for people that are like 400, 500 pounds. Basically, it's a 45-minute procedure. I was up and walking the same day. You have to avoid gas pains. Recovery time from, they put like 5 incisions in your stomach. You can hardly see mine now. Everything was fully closed up within 2 months. It cost me $5,500 out of pocket. And that was for my 5-star hotel, for my surgery, and for my recovery afterwards, which they bring you to a different unit of the hotel that is set up specifically for your medical needs. So people, you know, it would have cost me in the States, it would have cost me somewhere between $25,000
to $45,000
versus the $5,500 that I paid. So, do your research. It's definitely worth looking outside the States for.
Well, I'm glad you got it. You look happier and healthier. Mm-hmm. So how has your life changed since then? Because you've gone through, I don't know what all you were doing when me and you kind of met each other a couple of years ago.
I was doing what I'm doing now. Really? No, in all honesty, that's the thing that's crazy about it, is I was doing the 7 Oreo for about a year and a half before I met you. So as much as people want to say that appearance does not matter, it helps. I'm not gonna lie, it does. I'm pushing the same message. I mean, obviously stuff with Trump and things like that is more recent, but I've had my conservative views. I've had, you know, what I say about the country and Southern lifestyle, all that stuff. I shared all of that long before I lost the weight. And then I lost the weight. And now all of a sudden,
Explain to folks why, we'll just say you're, I don't know how you would say this. The reason why she is called Southern Oreo, why don't you tell them?
Okay, so I am adopted, for those of y'all, you can't see me. So I'm half Black, half Dominican. I was adopted at birth. Both my parents are white. My brother is Black. He was adopted 4 years before me. And I have a sister who's also Hispanic, who is also adopted. And so growing up, people call me Oreo because I was considered chocolate on the outside and white on the inside. It took me a little while in my youth, though, to understand that this was not meant as a compliment at all. This was definitely meant as a you're not one of us type term that the Black community used against me a lot. And so similar to how a certain word that white people are apparently not allowed to say.
The Morgan Wallen word.
The Morgan Wallen word. Oh my God, I did a video on that the other day and I ruffled some feathers, but that's besides the point of rolling. Kind of how they reclaim that word, I reclaimed Oreo. And it definitely pisses some people off. But at the end of the day, for me, it's kind of a conversation starter. For those of you who don't know, the Southern Oreo started as a movement to bring unity on breaking the stereotypes. I was born in Texas. I've lived all over the South. I've also lived all over the North as well. And for me, you know, race and skin tone should not be involved in lifestyle, I feel like, especially when it comes to the Southern lifestyle. There's a lot of negative stereotypes that come along with being from Alabama, Georgia, Texas, and black people. For some reason, I don't know. Everyone assumes rednecks are racist, but I grew up with them and they're some of the nicest people I've ever met. So that being my immediate surrounding, I wanted to create something to bridge the gap and break those stereotypes of why can't we all just be Americans and be people and see people as people? We all bleed red. So yeah.
Well, it's with human nature though, because if it doesn't matter if the issue wasn't you being black or Oreo, whatever, then it would be if you was a Christian or if you was a Muslim. People are going to find reasons not to like somebody because they're more than likely unhappy with themselves. That's where racism comes from. They're fucking miserable with themselves, and they're going to see somebody that's different, and they're going to be like, oh, you know, whatever. They're going to call you negative things, but it's really boils back down to them just not being fucking happy.
Right. And I think honestly, that's why I find this whole Morgan Wallen situation so comedic to me, because we have so many songs with that word in it, rap songs up the wazoo. You've got, I don't know how many rappers using it. And when you think about it, you know, when you think about the people that buy this music and they support these artists, they're not all black. I promise you that. Like, right. I know plenty of rap fans that are whiter than snow. And they're fine with it when you're giving money and support of their music. But then when he says it to a white guy, which is what I found hilarious about the whole thing, I'm like, y'all are really mad about him saying this to a white man. Like, this wasn't even about, like, the chance that it could have been derogatory.
You couldn't. That's the thing. It couldn't have been racist because there wasn't a person there of another skin tone to fucking to say it to. And in two, what blows my fucking mind is it's not the African American community that's pissed at him. It's uppity ass white liberals, and they're trying to show out for the black community. Be like, oh, we got you back. And he's like, no, shut your overprivileged ass up. Sit the fuck down. The black folks don't have a problem with it. I have not seen a single TikTok or an Instagram post where there has been a mad ass black person. If anything, they're going to invite fucking Morgan Wallen to the barbecue now.
No, I literally, someone put that in my comment section. I made a video about this. I'm like, you know, if there's a word that you have to exclude an entire race from saying, it's probably a pretty toxic word, and either everyone should be able to say it or no one should be saying it at all. We shouldn't be cherry picking when it should be used and when it shouldn't be used and who can say it. That's just fucking exhausting. It's so much extra energy that doesn't need to happen. And you see the whole white savior complex happen all throughout the election period, all throughout anything racial. And I'm sitting here like, I can fight my own battles. If I really have a problem with something, I will speak on it.
Yes.
But otherwise, please just don't. Like, I understand.
What people fail to realize, too, is that when you have situations like this and you are one of these liberals or whatever that's fucking pushing that agenda that this word is racist, all you're doing is giving that word more power. When Morgan Wallen said it, he said it in a joking manner. Now, is that word ever to be said with a hard ER? No. I know. That hard ER. But Morgan was fucking drunk.
He
slipped up, and he probably on a – I said it on a podcast. I did a podcast last night with Tainted Lyric, Ty Garcia, and Bar None. We was all at the studio, fucked up, had a great time. And I told him straight up, I was like, I am not one, when I listen to a rap song, if that word comes on, I say it.
Yeah.
I say it because there's no hate, there's no malice in my heart. Like,
if they didn't want it to be said, they shouldn't have put it in the song. Yeah. That's my whole ideology on it.
I mean, am I supposed to stop fucking singing when it gets to that?
Like, well, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The whole movement is, we don't see the contradictions. We do. There actually are many people that see the contradictions, but that's the thing for me that I think has become so apparent in the past couple of months, especially the past 6 months, most definitely, is you have to ask yourself the question is, do we really want unity or do we want special treatment? And that's what no one really wants to talk about is, this isn't about unity, because equality, that word, people don't know the definition of. Equality is treating everyone the same, regardless of skin tone, everyone same treatment across the board. What a lot of people don't want to do is understand that they have to include white people in that equality word. And I understand people have this ideology of white privilege and all that kind of stuff, but I grew up having white parents. My mom had 6 siblings. She worked 4 jobs to put herself through college. Like, they didn't come for money. So the idea that it's like, oh, well, you're lighter, so you've got it easier. I don't know if y'all have been to trailer parks recently. I've been to many, and there I've seen some pretty fucked up situations of meth infested trailer park and kids getting beat from alcoholic parents. Like, that whole mindset for me is just completely toxic. So when it comes to the whole, we've got to tiptoe around the Black community for these particular issues because they've just had it so bad, I'm like, do you actually, like, I'm not saying that there aren't injustices, but at the same time, I am saying I work my ass off to get where I am right now. And the difference between me and a lot of other people is I wasn't raised being told that I was lesser than. Skin tone was never discussed. Well,
You probably wasn't raised to be lazy and accept a handout either.
Exactly. So, you know, and granted, for, you know, my mom flew for Southwest Airlines. My dad taught people how to fly. They had money, but that was my dad's money and that was my mom's money. We were not raised with the ideology that we had automatic access to my parents' funds. As far as we shopped Walmart clearance, like that was, we didn't have that bougie lifestyle. So for me, it breaks my heart more than anything, seeing so many Americans that look like me sit there and say, well, because the color of my skin, I'm going to have it harder. Someone raised you to think that way. That wasn't something that you were just woke up and decided.
Well, you have took advantage of the opportunities you've been given. There's a lot of people that cry this white privilege shit, but when they're given an opportunity, they decide not to. Unfortunately, like coming up in school, you know, you've got kids that I love rap music just fucking anybody else. I love the hip hop culture just as much as anybody. I got more throwbacks than most of my Black buddies. Like I got some thug in me, you know? And the thing is if you want to live that lifestyle, there's two places you're going to end up. It's the grave or it's in prison. You are setting yourself up to fail if you listen to these songs and then you take it as the gospel. These people, most of these guys, and I just don't understand why our youth, and this isn't just African Americans, this is whites, this is Latinos, this is everybody. But I don't understand why they don't realize that, like, what you do, what I do, especially what rappers do, what are in movies, it's called entertainment. There's a good chance that guy singing about selling a brick ain't fucking ever sold a brick,
right?
Like, he ain't, no, but some of them now, some of them probably, but for the majority of them, they're singing about shit they don't know,
right? I remember when Drake first got big and everyone was like, you're talking about this you grew up on Degrassi, what are you
shut the fuck up, Drake. Like, it's like, what the fuck? Like, and that's why all the other rappers, you can kind of tell, they kind of roast his ass. There's a lot of them roast him. Like, the real hood dudes, they roast the shit out of him. And it's because he's fake.
If you look back at, like, old hip-hop, like Tupac and Biggie and all that
the
stuff.
The good shit.
That, even if they were talking about struggle, there was some sort of deeper message to what they were saying. And now it's like, granted, the shit we have now is catchy. It's still shit, though. But, like, you know? Like,
I don't understand new rap music at all. I don't I don't fucking like it. I like Cardi B and fucking the Megan Stallion bitch better than, like, any men that are in rap music right now.
I will say, ironically, the one man that I am head over heels obsessed with, Tom McDonald.
Oh, we just... I introduced all the guys from TikTok last night to fucking People Are So Stupid and all his shit last night. The dude is a fact spitter, and he ought to be the biggest fucking person in hip hop. He ought to be one of the biggest people in music, period.
He's amazing. And the fact that he's kind of reclaiming, he's an independent artist. He doesn't have a label. You know, he just says what he needs to say. And I absolutely adore that about him on every single topic that every artist can't, because they would lose their label over it. I mean, that's the reality of it. So, yeah, I think I wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying. I think the same thing goes into, like, the 2A, you know, viewpoint when people talk about, oh, you've got all these kids out here playing video games and that's what's causing them to be violent. I'm sitting there, I'm like, if you are not raising your child to be able to differentiate between the headset they have on talking to some kid in China, like,
throwback to whatever war that Modern Warfare has them in, like, then that's a you thing. That's not even a kid thing. That's a bad parenting thing. Like,
it's
you need to
it's a lazy parenting thing. It's people not wanting to take responsibility for their fuck ups. If you right. if your child doesn't want to read by the time they get to high school, it's probably because they didn't see you reading. If right. if your child ends up being a fucking alcoholic, it's probably because all your child ever did was watch you drink growing up. Like right. there's this really. Parents don't take enough credit of fucking their kid up, and then they find video games. They find fucking movies or rap music or whatever, or just music in general, and they're like, oh, this is what's fucked up about my kid. No, you fucking didn't parent them right, and now you don't want the blame to be on you.
Exactly, exactly. And it's sad because, I mean, I think those are one of our outlets. I think I love video games. I'm not saying don't play them. I'm just saying at the same time, you have to be able to take responsibility for the realities of what that is, you know?
Well, it's like I said, it's this, and there's nothing wrong with video games because I got a PlayStation set up in the studio. I mean, just for when we're fucking around. But just people in general today, they're always looking for somewhere to blame. And that goes to our politics, everything going on right now that is in this country. Morgan Wallen did nothing bad. He probably, if anything, he fucking united people. Like, how do you drop the N-word and then people come together? I mean, it's fucked up, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, now you go ahead. You go ahead. This is your show today.
Had more downloads, I think, in the past. Like, there are people that were in my comment section. I made a video about it on TikTok, and people are like, I didn't even know who this guy was until I saw your video, and then I looked him up. Like, and that's kind of, I think, the effect that's happening that they didn't expect to happen was, instead of canceling him, they're actually promoting him because everyone is tired. We've had this tone for the past 6 months of, we've got to walk on eggshells. We've got to walk on eggshells. And I think people are finally getting to the point where they're like, y'all are just hypersensitive to the max. Like, what is that babies thing we've got going on now? Babies, where we can't decide the gender of our babies until they're four, because that's when they've officially decided when they can be a boy or a girl. Like, all the things, like, we've got all this, we've got to coddle feelings and hold hands, and I think people are officially just done. And that's why I don't think his label dropped him, but I don't think he's done. I think he's far
well, he's permanently suspended. They are indefinitely suspended. But you've got to know who Cody Johnson is, being from Texas. Cody Johnson, independent artist for the longest time. He sold out stadium. He's made more money being an independent artist. If I'm Morgan Wallen right now, I'm happy as fuck. Mm-hmm. I'm happy as fuck because the entire country and everybody is behind you right now. You said you dropped the N-bomb, but you didn't say it out of hate. And everybody is realizing, like, this dude is just like, I said last night, if I was in his shoes and I was in my 20s and I had all that money, all that talent, and I lived in Nashville, I'm getting fucked up all the time. I'm fucking everything that I can, and I'm going to enjoy my fucking life. The dude's a kid. Like, everybody misses the point. I don't know if this ever happened to you, but if I got thrown all the money that he's been thrown in the past year or two, money right. doesn't make you grow up. Experience makes you grow up. So you got a kid that has all this money. He don't know how to fucking act. He just wants yeah. to be a kid.
Right.
But I
exactly.
mean,
and that's like, if you look back at the situation he had happen before, where I think it was Bama he went to or something.
He got fucked up at a college bar.
Right. And people are like, oh, he's got a wife. I'm like, I'm sitting here and thinking, like, it's interesting how people want to look at celebrities, right? And they want to act like they know everything about their life, because it's easier to point the finger at someone else's life than analyze their own. And I'm not saying it was right what he did, but what I am saying is that everyone makes fucking mistakes. Everyone screws up, and we screw up in our normal day-to-day lives, not being underneath a microscope. Never mind when you've got hundreds of thousands of people watching you, and now you've got those stresses, and it can be overwhelming sometimes. So God forbid the boy had a slip up moment and fucked up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just interesting how quickly people are willing to cast the first stone when low key they also have like 40 men in their inbox or on their Snapchat, but they're staying loyal to one man. You know what I mean? Like,
it's taking the attention and the fucking blame off of yourself and pointing it somewhere else. Right. But I just don't. It pisses me off the way that everybody is so fucking sensitive now. And like you said, hypersensitive from the the babies thing to our politics. I'm so over so much of this shit. I said for the first time during the election and everything, I got so burnt out on it, but I'm big into conspiracy theories. So I went way down the fucking hole with like QAnon and stuff. And like, I had been so pissed ever since Inauguration Day because I thought something was going to happen. But then when I realized it didn't, I didn't act up. I didn't fucking act stupid or whatever. I accepted that Joe Biden's the president. And everything, and I didn't get sensitive about it. I don't understand why motherfuckers want to be so sensitive about things they can't change.
Right. And I will say, you know, I have seen my page went really political for a while, and I've kind of gone back to the Southern thing, but it's really interesting that a lot of the other conservative creators that I've gotten to know over the past couple of months, it's interesting how quickly they adapted the exact behavior that they said they were against. I'm seeing a lot of people be like, oh, Biden's not my president. And I'm saying, I'm like, no, wait a second. We couldn't take 4 years telling everyone Trump's your president and then not have the immaturity to acknowledge, hey, we may not like it, but this is the reality right now. Whether or not you thought it happened legitimately or whether you thought it was fair, yes, that matters. The American voice matters. But at the end of the day, like we have to match energies. We can't turn around and be hypocrites because now it doesn't fit what we want to be true. You know what I mean? Yeah. So,
well,
I'm the one who's taste a lot of people I know. So if I can say that, you know, it sucks. It tastes like vinegar coming out of my mouth, but at the same time, it doesn't make it any less true.
Well, and then like with these creators you're talking about, one reason why it's so quick or so easy for them to turn, because they're only saying the shit they want to say for views, for follows, for money or whatever. It's not real. Folks like me and you will be around so much longer than other folks because what you see is what you fucking get. I'm not putting on a fucking show. There's probably been many a times that you could have went a different route with the stuff you were posting for whatever, to get clout, to get fucking all this stuff, but you remained you and you've done very well. Like now, you know what? I've made the post over and over and over again because it pisses people off and I like pissing people off. Like all these people, they're like, you're a conservative. And I was like, you know what? I'm no longer a conservative. I'm damn sure not a liberal. I'm an independent going forward from now on. Because all this election has showed me is this is not about Democrat versus Republican. It's not white versus black. This is rich versus fucking poor. And I'm over it. I'm voting for the little guy from now on. Hey, that is whose corner I'm going to back, who is good for me and my family. And if I lose, I'm going to do it with grace. I'm not going to run around. All these motherfuckers for the past 4 years, like you said, that have been cussing people out and trolling people on social media when they post, Trump's not my president. And then the first thing they fucking post is Biden isn't my president. Shut the fuck up and get the fuck on. Like, accept it. Accept it and pray that Biden and Harris do a good job. Mm-hmm. I mean, as our leader goes, our country goes. I don't like him, but I don't have to like him for me to hope that he does well because then our country succeeds.
Right. And that's what a lot of people, you know, have asked me. They'll be like, why haven't you covered anything about the inauguration? I said, first of all, I have made the mistake many a times. And when I am wrong, I will admit that I'm wrong. I will jump on a topic way too fast. I will emotionally respond to something before
Boo,
I have all.
Me too.
I'm guilty of it. I'm a really passionate person. That's how I operate sometimes. But I haven't really said much on it, mainly because of the fact, and granted, we've seen some of the things he's done. They haven't been that great. And in time will tell. But I can't give him the same energy that I gave Trump. I was not always a Trump supporter. That was not always a thing. It took me about 2 years into his presidency for me to stop and say, okay, I can either sit here and bitch and moan and cry because I listened to the media and I was a sheep and all the things, like I own that. But it got to a point where I was like, me sitting here talking on Facebook about how mad I am isn't going to change the fact that this man is in office. So I can either be educated as to why I don't like him, or I can stop complaining about it. So when I first started researching him, it wasn't.
Will you say that one more time? I want you to say that one more time for some dumbass that's listening to this. What did you do when you didn't know? You educated yourself.
Right. And that's all you can do. That's all you can do is we have this, we've become very lazy as a country. And it's very apparent. The average human attention span is that of all 10 to 15 seconds. Okay. So that being said, you know, we hear things on the news, we see a headline and we absorb that information. And because it came from a quote unquote reliable source, we won't really dig much deeper into that. And that was me for a long time. So when I was said, okay, I'm going to stop, I'm going to educate myself on this. I want to be able to have the rebuttal when people ask me, why don't you like Trump? I want to be able to have facts to present. I don't want it just to be, oh, well, he said this one time. I want to be able to have actual facts to back it up. And little to my surprise, when I actually started researching stuff, I was like, oh shit. Like, this is not what I thought I was going to find. This is not where I thought this was going to go. And upon digging deeper and finding my own sources and really fact checking things on my own, it became apparent just how corrupt the media is. It's kind of like that moment in the Matrix when like he wakes up from the Matrix and he sees like all the machines. Yeah. Like, that's what it felt like. I was like, oh shit, like this is so fabricated and so manipulated. And it's scary because there are, there's a majority of the American people that doesn't know that yet. Like, that is so scared of that truth that they will deny. Even though it's a quick, you know, 2-hour research process for themselves, they will deny because it's all that they know. And it would require them to be humble and admit that they were wrong, that they're not willing to do that research because they know that they're wrong, you know, but people rather live in ignorance is bliss than deal with what the reality and the truth is.
They'll do their best to remain comfortable is the thing. Yeah. When stuff starts getting uncomfortable and it starts changing your train of thought, that's when you're like, okay, I don't want to research this anymore. But you should go deeper the more uncomfortable you get, because you're not feeding your ego. You're not feeding your beliefs. You're actually having an intelligent conversation or whatever with someone, or reading and educating yourself to where you find out, okay, this isn't really the way it was. This doesn't make me feel right. But at the same time, this is the truth.
Yeah.
And so many people are fucking scared of the truth. They don't want to know that our government is fucking shady as hell. But every government, everybody, and I love this country. I love fucking everything about this country. Every man and woman that has fought, served this country, our police officers, our veterans, everybody. But our country's not like the fucking, it's not that great. We're behind in education to everywhere else. We have more homeless here than fucking anywhere else in the world. Our suicide rate's higher than anywhere else in the world. And it is because of our media. It is the way that we live. It is the way that we are trained from children. This is our life. We don't have to. If it was another country, you know why coups and fucking rebellions still happen in other countries? Because the people aren't fucking stupid there. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, they know that that politicians work for them. They don't work for fucking politicians. There's enough stupid motherfuckers in our country that we're like, oh, no, I've got to do what they say. No, you don't, motherfucker. They're supposed to do what you need them to do.
Right. And that's what I think, you know, we were talking about conspiracy theories earlier. Trust me. The hours in which I have spent, I went into it a little bit on my podcast talking about how, you know, you can literally track from when coronavirus started how this was all going to play out.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Down to the T, like the domino effect of all this occurring from, and granted, as we know, BLM pops up every 4 years. That's just something that they do. But the way that they fabricated this, as much as they want to say the Dems are dumb, I don't like
it. Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Generalize, because I've met some, you know, pretty intelligent Democrats as well. But when I say that they were strategical about how they went about this is an understatement.
Oh, you know, fucking right. 100%.
BLM, all that stuff happening, that created the initial divide. And they were smart about it this time, though, because it wasn't just white to black. It was authority figure to the people. You had now a division between, you know, police officers, first responders, and the average civilian. Okay. So you now have a distrust in the exact people that you would think to go to when something goes wrong, all right? That's a huge crippling statement to the American people. Then after that, you've got, oh, well, look at our government. Our government is going to come in and be supportive of BLM and all this stuff. And then coronavirus hits, and now we're glued to our phones, which meaning the only way that we have to get information is through our technology. We're not going outside. We're not really interacting with each other the way that we used to. So you kind of put everyone into this hyper-focused tunnel of you're all going to get the same information at the same time because we're all putting on the same social media platforms at the exact same time, exactly how we want you to hear it. So you've got these hyper emotions from BLM riots happening. You've got the division of the people because now you've got, you know, people saying, well, we're trying to give Black people special treatment. Y'all are being ridiculous. Then you've got, oh, well, we think all police are bad. And all it was a tornado clusterfuckery of fabricated chaos. And the domino effect that it caused, so much so to us to have mail-in voting. You know, like there's so much of this is tied together. And I'm not going to ramble that long because I could talk about this for 3 to 4 hours. But if you really go through and nitpick every single thing that's happened in the past 7 months, it's all related. Every last little bit of it is related. And it happens every 4 years. But I think that the reason why they had to go to such an extreme this time is because they had a man in office that couldn't be bought because he already had his own money, wasn't a politician, and that's why he was voted in. Like, he wasn't playing by the rules that every other politician has played for the past 10 years.
But what you just said is why even Republicans turned on him. Because when he didn't start taking lobbyists, when there was nobody bending his ear, they knew they were fucked. So they had to advise this game plan. And I believe it to my soul. Everything that had happened, like you said, the past year was solely for the election. Yep. And 2 months from now, if Biden and them do actually pull off this 4 to 6 week lockdown, they're going to say, okay, this is it. Coronavirus is over. It's never coming. That's not how fucking diseases work. That's not how fucking diseases work in the first place. But second, they're going to say, oh, this is all Trump ever had to fucking do. No, you have faked it. You have faked it up to this point. There's a term that everybody fucking uses, no matter if you play softball, if you're a podcast or whatever the fuck you are. You always say you fake it till you fucking make it. And that is exactly what they did. They knew that on an even playing field, there was not a chance in hell Joe Biden. It's a landslide in my mind. And I could be wrong because the media did make a huge portion of our population hate Trump.
They did.
They made them fucking hate it. But even if that's not the case, if without coronavirus, without – I always say this, and you're intelligent enough to know, Black Lives Matter obviously matter to you, but the organization and the movement is completely fucking different. People don't understand it. That's why so many people, back when everybody was sharing the stuff about Black Lives Matter, of course they fucking matter, without a doubt, but I'm not sharing George Soros, an old fucking white man's shit. He's one of the fucking big guys in Black Lives Matter. He's funded it.
It's actually really fascinating because they made a post on their official Instagram page and their official Facebook page where they reached out 30 days before Biden and Kamala Harris had a activist group convention, which had been planned 30 days prior to that happening. BLM requested an audience of both of them. Okay, let's keep in mind, this is the quote unquote, I think it's a terrorist organization, but activist movement, whatever, that gave millions, if not billions of dollars to his campaign. You know, they were the reason why they got the majority of the Black vote that they did, you know, or whatever Black vote that they got, that it was due to BLM. And they didn't get a seat at that table. At that activist meeting, they weren't there. They didn't get an invite. So it's kind of like, okay, if it's such an important movement, you know, if George Soros, a white gazillionaire, you know, whatever.
The fucking devil.
Who has been openly racist. So why would he, you know what I mean? Like, this man literally has a history of being racist. I'm sure has some connections with Joe Biden on many levels. Okay. Like, I don't understand how much more modernized slavery you can get than a white millionaire funding a group of Black people to do his bidding to get his way.
I fucking love you. We're going to make beautiful babies. Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Same mindset. What? You got a lot, Candace Owens, and I'm not saying that because you're African American woman, but you sound so much like Candace Owens right now. She has this thing that she talks about, and the generation below us just don't fucking understand because they're brainwashed by media more than anybody else. But Joe Biden is literally one of the people who signed the deal, the several laws back in the 80s to make it to where if your dad, the whole deal was to get the African-American male out of the home. That way the government could become daddy. That's why you have a whole generation of people that only know the government and love the government because they have took care of them their entire life. They gave them nothing but fucking handouts. So what the Democrats did, and it's fucking brilliant, honestly, is they created voters. They created dependents. They have created a whole generation that need them because they don't want to go back. There was a girl working for me, and she was a Democrat. And when Biden won, or where we were talking or whatever, I asked her. I was like, why do you want Biden to win? Explain it to me. And right. she's like, I just don't like Trump. And I was like, okay, why do you want Biden to win? I don't like fucking Trump. I was like, vote independent, bitch.
Yep.
Like, if you can't tell me why. And then she's like, the Democratic Party is the party of the people. And I was like, who's in charge of the Democratic Party? And she's like, Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and Kamala Harris. And I'm like, oh, those are the people? Those are your neighbors? Those are the ones that... No, Kamala Harris has left more men in prison that should have been released and put more black men to long-term prison sentences than any fucking sitting judge. And no. But she is the fucking person that we want. And she is the liberation movement for African Americans. What the fuck? How stupid do you have to be?
And it's interesting that, granted, this is a touchy subject. You know,
I like touchy, baby. You get as real and raw as you want.
When it comes to the topic of abortion, I've got my views on that and whatnot. But, you know, when you talk about the founder of Planned Parenthood, which is Margaret Sanger. The whole reason why she founded Planned Parenthood was to diminish African-American communities. That was literally the exit. Like, this is, and this isn't something that she was, you know, shy about. Like, this was something that was very openly discussed. Now, the reason why this is tied to what we're talking about is when you were talking about how, you know, not having fathers in the home and all that kind of stuff. There is a reason why there is a higher percentage of Planned Parenthoods in poverty communities. Okay. This is a procedure that starts at around $250 if you're going from the pill up to thousands of dollars. Why would it be that you have more of high expensive surgeries or procedures in low income areas? It's because of the fact that they have strategically placed this exact process in the demographics that have a majority of the black community, which they again set up with the whole ideology of, okay, let's say that you decide that you want to have an abortion. All right, fine. We're going to give you payment plans for that. We're going to help you get rid and keep you guys the minority. We're then going to turn around and tell you, well, you know, the thing that would make that young boy that you maybe already have a strong man to go off and do what he needs to do would be a father figure. Well, we don't want him to be able to have that independence and that strength. So we're going to give you more money if you don't have dad around. Okay. But if you get pregnant by a guy, okay, well, I don't want to keep him around because I get more money from the government if he's not around. And if he comes and starts doing his job, then I get less money. But now I'm overwhelmed because I have this baby in my life. Like, it's all tied together to be this contradictory mess to cause a continuous forever minority. We make up 15% of the population. Why do we do that? Because we literally choose to be the 15%. Like, no one wants to acknowledge that. We have the most abortion rates in the country is the black community, but that is all strategically set up thanks to the Democratic Party. But nobody wants to acknowledge that with Planned Parenthood and with the, you know, the payment plans and benefits that you get from not having a father in the home. And ironically, BLM, if you go to their actual official website, openly state that they are not for traditional homes. They openly state that they are not for fathers in the home. So it's the fact that a majority of the community has not stopped and said, do y'all not see, like, you're being played? Well, you're being played so hard right now.
It's because it is literally because they don't want to see it. And they're not going to see it. They're always going to be fucking blind to it. Because if you have a father in the household, you grew up with your dad, I grew up with my dad, it makes you stronger. Okay? Right. It makes you stronger. It builds you in ways that a mother can't, but the same way goes in reverse. A mother will teach you things that a father never could. So you have all these families and everything that they have no leadership because the mother's out working her ass off to get by. So they don't have that strong example sometimes. If mom's gone fucking 10, 15 hours out of the day and she only sees you when you sleep, she can't do much. So then you have to fall back into politicians leading you and society leading you. And now what's even made it fucking worse is because of like some of these movements and everything. Social media has made it cool.
Right. Yes. There's
so many people that don't even know the difference between Black lives actually matter, but the movement fucking mission statement is not about equality. It is about, oh, Martin Luther King Jr., one of the fucking best writers, people fucking ever. If he saw the mission statement from Black Lives Matter, he would say, I died in vain.
Mm-hmm.
I would have died in vain because this isn't what I wanted. Like, how can you think you wanting to one up the Caucasian community or whatever? That's not, I don't understand it. And people blatantly see it, but they choose not to because they want to say, oh, all these white folks are racist or fucking whatever they want to say about us. But a majority of us, like, we don't think that way. Now, you've got a couple fucking morons. Well, I say a couple. You got a lot of stupid fucks. But but the same way, like, you probably know just as many black folks that are racist towards white folks as I know white folks racist towards black folks.
Right.
You're always going to have that shit. I don't get why people don't open their eyes and just love their neighbor and get to know, don't matter what the fuck it look like. It's stupid. You're prejudging people. And then, you're right. I go on fucking hours. When I start talking about that, I get so fucking riled up because the majority of people that you talk to on subjects like this, when you ask them why they think something, they say, because I said so.
Yes. All right,
they don't have the logic and they don't have the backing. That's how you find out somebody's a fucking sheep. It's
right.
You thinking that Trump was not good to start off with. You mm-hmm. researching. I give everybody the example. I say, I want you to ask yourself, financially, was the past 4 years under Trump better for you than the previous 8 years under Biden? And if you're young, I want you to look at Biden and Obama. I want you to look at your parents. Did your parents do better in those 8 years or the past four? Trump has said a lot of fucking stupid shit.
Absolutely.
Like, I wish somebody would have took his goddamn phone a long fucking time ago. But besides that, our military's not a laughing stock. It's fucking about to be with the transgenders running around in it and all this other stuff. And by the way, I love trannies. Big fan of them. I like the gays. I like fucking everybody. TikTok has made me love trannies. Had no fucking idea that I'd ever say that sentence in my fucking life. But it has. That's one of the videos, that our type of video that I watch a lot. Those transformation videos, they get me every fucking time. But there's so many people that just, they don't open their eyes and they go by what they're fucking told. They don't investigate. And then you get left with what we're in now. All these people that think Biden's and is this the best fucking thing ever. How can you think a man who literally called a whole race, an African-American race, he called them fucking predators, super predators.
He called black kids roaches, and he said that if we, you know, integrated schools, it would be a racial jungle. Like, no one. Yeah. And I brought this up with people, and they say, "Oh, well, people can change." I'm like, "You're right. They can. He hasn't." Like, yeah. I'm not saying they can't, but he hasn't. And this was proven. I can send you the exact source in it, but the debate that Kamala Harris, I call her, I don't know if I'm saying her name right, I really could give a shit, but her and Biden had with each other. They literally both call each other racist on live TV in a debate where she blatantly states that nor her or Obama would be in the place that they had been if Biden had had a say in it. And now they're best friends and they're running together.
Yeah. Like, I do not believe that Biden is really president. I mean, of course he holds the office. Of course, he hold Pelosi and Harris are president.
Yes.
Biden is a fucking figure. And I think the only reason why they picked him, even though he's a stupid fuck, is he was under Obama. Everybody fucking loved Obama. Okay.
He's
he got the Obama vote that he would have that they probably couldn't pull off. I think they would have actually let Harris be the fucking leader of the party, but I think they were too scared that she would fucking lose to Trump because she's a woman. I think that's exactly what happened. I think from start to finish, they had it planned. I mean, we're going to see it. I mean, people that don't think this next statement is true, holler at me in a fucking year from now. Biden's going to be fucking dismissed anyway. Mm-hmm. And then you got fucking Harris as president and Pelosi telling her what to do.
It's going to be a nightmare. And not a lot of people understand that. And it's kind of scary too. I think, you know, for those who think TikTok is dumb, I totally get it. I do. I started as a joke and I got hooked. Okay. So just hear me out on that.
Same shit. I said I was never doing anything that my daughter thought was fucking cool as a 9-year-old. And I started it in November. And I was like, this is fucking fun. Like I'm the old guy. And how old are you?
I'm 25.
Okay. So I'm 33 and I'm the old fucking guy on TikTok.
Yeah.
And I fucking dig it. I love it.
And that's what I'm saying. But if you do enough digging, you can find some really great people on there. And
oh, I will say
you'll be very terrified too, because it opens your eyes to what this younger generation is actually thinking and how they're behaving and how they're functioning. You know, when I was 13, 14 years old, my mom knew what I told her. I mean, she probably knew a little bit more than that for the most part. You know, we didn't have technology like we do today. You know, I thought when Facebook came out, oh my God, this is like a big thing. No. Okay. That's not
the even fact that you didn't even throw MySpace in there. Just reminds me how fucking old I am. You went straight to fucking Facebook.
I never was on the MySpace kick. I was like,
oh, out you having- said the MySpace too. You can go fuck yourself.
I wasn't on it. Like that wasn't, that was me. I was having play dates and playing with Polly Pockets.
MySpace was the coolest of all of them. TikTok is good. Snapchat is really good. I've made a living off Snapchat. But MySpace, being able to customize everything, put your top friends there. If somebody pissed you off, you took a motherfucker off. You got a new girlfriend, bitch went one. Put a song. Oh, MySpace was cool. And now I can't even post what I want without fucking getting shadow banned.
This is true. Or having fact checkers come and tell you that you're wrong. You know, you're right.
But it's
scary to see Gen Z. Nothing. I've met some good Gen Zers too. But the Gen Z of this generation, like, it's terrifying to think that, like, this is our nation of tomorrow. Like, genuinely. And you've got these kids out here that are, you know, 14, 13 years old defending these, what, re-education camps that we've been to, re-education programs, my bad, sorry, that are happening.
Just call it garbage.
No, really.
Just simplify it to garbage.
Every ounce they're being are like, this is so good. Like, but it's, you can't even really be mad at them because it's what they're raised on. They have been raised in a generation that has taught you, if you scream and cry loud enough, you're going to get your way. Regardless of whether what you're saying makes sense or if it's true or if it's right, if you scream and cry loud enough, you're going to get your way. And that's why for me, you know, to anyone else out there in the gay community, I'm bisexual. I'm part of the gay community. My brother is gay. Like,
make me like you a little bit more. Why don't you?
Oh my goodness gracious, you're ridiculous. But for real, like, our movement, our want to be accepted was very different than all the nonsense going on now. And you will see a lot of, you know, 24 and up in the gay community kind of be like, this is not, we don't support this shit. Like, people will come at me and be like, oh, I can't believe that you supported Trump when he tried to stop transgender people in the military. No, he didn't. He told them that they had to wait until they were done transitioning before they could enter the military. I don't know about you, but if you're planning on going into combat of some kind, you probably don't want to be having a whole bunch of hormonal shifts during that time.
No, and people don't look that deep into it.
No.
You don't want to be having goddamn mood swings holding an AR. Like, no. You can't. But
you have to think about that. You're also responsible in a way for a lot of other people's lives too. So it would be unfair to ask the families of America that have their sons, daughters, husbands, wives, children, you know, out there fighting for our country. Well, we have to be sensitive to your feelings, regardless of whether or not it's going to impair your ability to protect this person who's also fighting with you. To make you feel warm and fuzzy, we're just going to ignore all of the blatant medical truth that tells us that this is a bad idea. You know, so people don't really want to think about logic. This is no longer about logic. We are an emotionally based country. And not that being empathetic or having emotion is bad, but there comes a point where you have to say facts over feelings. Sometimes that's just non-negotiable. You know, us wanting to be able to get married, that's one thing. But I could say I identify as a billionaire. It doesn't mean that I'm going to have dollars in my bank account.
Well, see,
you know what I mean?
I have a theory behind it all. And it's far-fetched as fuck now. But the most valuable thing in this world will forever be land. Like, having property, having land will always be the number one thing, right? Yeah. I think why people are making such a big deal, besides for it was just crooked as fuck, about all of our connections with China now, I think it is a long-term plan to make our country extremely soft, to demasculate men, to where eventually China or somebody is going to come take this fucking country. They're gonna fucking buy this country one piece at a time, one politician at a time, because you're making men not be men. So then we're gonna send fucking the tranny down the street to fight goddamn ninjas. And what's gonna happen? We're fucking done. Have you seen their military? Their military is fucking amazing. As soon as you make us weak, they're the first motherfuckers. Them and Russia are gonna tag team our ass. And it's over with, and we're gonna throw fucking, I don't even know the name, RuPaul at their goddamn asses, and we're not gonna have shit to do about it. There's nothing we can do.
No, it's gonna be, what is it, Red Dawn? It's gonna be Red Dawn come to life. No, really. I mean, that's I wholeheartedly agree. And people say it's far fetched, but it's not. Like, this could happen in our lifetime. The next 10 to 20 years, I think people are going to see a very big shift in the way that this country operates. And not to say, men, if you want to cry, cry. Like, I get it. Like, there's a difference between being emotional and then
not being a man. I'm a fucking crybaby. I'm a fucking crybaby. I am soft, but I'm the first person. If you try me, I will punch you in the fucking face too. Like, I'm not soft. I am sensitive.
You're emotionally aware.
Yes, exactly. But they're gonna fucking come over here, and just like Red Dawn, they're gonna be parachuting out into our countries, and all the fucking people are supposed to be fighting, we're gonna making goddamn TikTok videos. they're gonna be saying Corvette, Corvette, and then fucking they're getting offed. It's fucking over with. They're gonna die because they fucking can't. They don't see what the world in front of them is like because they can't get their eyes out of their phone screen.
Yeah, that's true, it's to the point now where I feel like for the media and for the government, like, they're just having fun at this point. They were sloppy as hell. And I do mean sloppy as hell these past 7 months. Like, there were so many holes and contradictions and that it was very clear to see, but they've understand that they're at a point now where they have so much control over the American mind that it doesn't really fucking matter.
They're laughing. Like, there's somebody laughing behind the scenes right now, and they're like, oh, they really fucking believe this. Like, they really fucking believe it.
For example, not to keep bringing up race, but when you think about the numbers, the whole movement, the BLM movement, why that started with cops and everything, that we lost 9 black lives in 2000, what was it, 18, 19, and all this police brutality. We had 27 black lives taken by the Black Lives Matter movement, if not more than that. Those were the ones that were reported and covered by the media. So ironically, it's like, okay, Y'all are mad at cops for taking black lives. So we're just going to get you so mad that you're going to kill more of each other, but then you're still going to think that you did something. Yeah. Like,
it goes back to something we were talking about earlier, is not wanting to take responsibility. Look, right. if a Caucasian community gets ran down with meth in their trailer parks or whatever, if they get ran down, that is a Caucasian problem because of the environment we created. Okay, same thing with the ghettos or whatever, the hoods. Those people could just as easy. There's a meme that I'll forever fucking love. It is three black men standing in a courtroom, and one of them is a police officer, one of them is a lawyer, and the other one is a convict. And it's all about the decisions you make. There's a guy that I fucking love named, I watch all of his shit on Instagram, it's Colin Knorr. He's out there close to you. If you don't know who Colin Knorr is, you need to look him up. You'll fucking dig him. But he grew up poor. Now he's a lawyer. He's also a big gun enthusiast. And the stuff that he posts, you're like, this guy, I mean, he's just so fucking intelligent. And he makes sense. But he's one of these guys that claps back. people like to call him Uncle Tom and shit or whatever.
Dumb. If you just really quick, sorry to interject.
No, go ahead.
Was a fucking hero who gave his life so two slaves could get away. If y'all don't know that, if people are out here calling people Uncle Tom, like, you're basically calling me a savior of my people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
I'll be literally. Thanks, Jesus.
Like, that's fine.
Yeah, you can call me. You can call me whatever the fuck you want to.
But, it's cool.
But also, too, think about it. If you, what you just said is the truth behind that. At some point in time, somebody who didn't know no better called another black man that. And then they were like, oh, this is funny. This is cool. No fact checking, no truth behind it. They said it because they thought it was cool. And now it's a term that still lives on today because somebody just spit diarrhea of the fucking mouth. And they're like, oh, okay, this is what, you know, whatever. This generation, and luckily, there is some of us that are coming up. I'm raising my daughter to be a strong, badass person. She's fucking, gosh, she's mean as hell. And I love that she's mean because I'm not raising a soft child. I want my daughter, whenever China comes, I want her to go pick up her fucking nine and start shooting chinks.
Yeah. Like,
and I don't mean that to be racist towards no chinks or anything, Chinaman. But I mean, fuck. If you don't know that there's other countries that just hate us.
Yeah.
Like they don't like us.
Also just laugh at us. I mean, I said this the other day. I posted this on Facebook and I was like, y'all ever wonder if, like, we're the Truman Show of the world? Like,
oh, genuinely, my God, yes.
If we are, we're all thinking, you know, because they've all strategically taught us that, oh, all these other countries are terrible and this is bad and you don't want to go here. But, like, in reality, we're just, like, this dome country and all the other countries are like, hey, let's throw a virus at them real quick. Let's see how they respond to that. Or let's just have the most fucked up election ever. And see, like, genuinely, it feels like people are just throwing in random at whatever point characteristics or situations to happen and just laughing at us and watching how it happens. Because, and I don't know if you've seen this on TikTok, but there's a lot of people from different countries that are like, yeah, so I moved here from the United States. Shit's really not that bad.
It's probably not really shitty here, but think about it. If the people ever, and they're not going to, if the people were ever to actually revolt, there's no way we wouldn't take back the country. There's no way. I mean, there's none. I mean, think about it. There's how many military, there's how many police officers, and then you look at the population. It's a fucking landslide. Now, you say Texas?
You look at Texas.
I'm this close. All bullshit aside, I'm this close to moving to Texas. I'm this close. The fact that I know who our governor is fixing to be in the next 2 years, Stacey Abrams, I fucking want out of Georgia so bad. But everything I know, everything I love is here, and it would be the hardest thing I ever did. But it's just bullshit. I want y'all to succeed from everybody else, but then it's going to be overrun with motherfuckers like me, and you ain't gonna be able to get a house, no land, no nothing there. Joe Rogan's ass, I'm fucking went out there, and now every comedian and funny motherfucker is 10 minutes from you if you live in Houston. Yep. You know what? Me and Kylie Strickland were going on a road trip. You have to be one of the stops on the road trip.
I'm down for it, dude. You know, actually, I talk with, you know who Black Rifle Coffee is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so they're based in San Antonio, and I've talked with Heather a few times. They've got a range out here in San Antonio, which is about 3 hours from me, and they're awesome people, but all their stuff is based out here, so I'll ask her about potentially having y'all come out and do all that kind of stuff. It's a damn good time here. And it's just kind of unfiltered. That's why I love being here, ironically. I'm not, like, trying to plug my shit. It's just genuine. Like, that's how people are. They don't really give a fuck. Like, they say what's on their mind, they say how they feel, and I think we need more of that. We have become so PC and so careful about wording and thought process
and fucking pronouns.
For real, people are afraid to think, like, not even speak. People are genuinely afraid to think.
Plug your show one more time real fast, because this is too good for it to be one episode with me and you. It's too fucking good. Plus, I didn't even get to the sex shit. And I didn't get to hear about the TikTok stuff. So, this is a good first one. Me and you have to do another one real soon in the next couple of weeks, whenever you can find time. And but I want you to plug your stuff one more again, and then I want you to shamelessly go plug me all over your TikTok and shit too. Okay.
My podcast, Y'all Is Kate Unfiltered. You can find it on Spotify, Apple Music, and YouTube. I try to post twice a week. I've been really bad about it recently, but I'm going to get a lot better. It's probably going to be on Wednesdays and Fridays that I am uploading. So come on over and check me out.
The company that just hooked me up, Red Circle, and is taking care of everything for me now. If you'll get a couple, how many episodes do you got?
Four.
Huh?
Four.
Did you say four? Oh, baby girl, we got to get them numbers up. I'm trying to get you paid.
Oh, God.
You're too good. You are, without a doubt, I've had some really good people in here. You have a great speaking voice. You're long-winded as fuck, and that is a very, very good thing in this. No, I will help you get some guests to do your show with you. I will send some folks your way. You're too good to do four episodes. Get about 20 under your belt, and I will give you the I will give them your information at Red Circle, and they will hook you up, and you'll make some money, and everybody can see that smile and that shine you got going on over there. But anyway, all right. Guys, thank y'all for listening to Miss Kate. Thank you. Thank you very much for doing the show finally. I hope everything goes great with Southern Oreo. You keep being a badass, a great example, not because of your skin tone, but because of who the fuck you are. You are an example that I hope a whole lot of people hear this, go look you up, and they're like, you know what? I'm going to need to raise my kids like that. That right here is what an American is. I appreciate it, Kate, and I'll be talking to you soon. And everybody that tuned in to listen to this one, thank y'all. Thank Red Circle. Thank Michelob Ultra, too. You have sponsored a whole lot of things today. I love you guys, and I will catch y'all next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.